He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there in the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priest and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped that he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Then some woman from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the woman had said. Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?" Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on, but they begged him, "Stay the night with us, since it's getting late." So he went home with them. As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and he blessed it. Then he broke it and he gave it to them. Suddenly, at that very moment, their eyes were open and they recognized him. And at that moment, he also disappeared. They said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, who said, "The Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So this morning, I welcome all of you to yet another day that the Lord has made, and a very important day in the life of our church and our church family. This is Communion Sunday, a day of celebration in our walk of faith as Christians. Our scripture for today reminds me of the friendship and relationship Luke and the Apostle Paul shared as they traveled together in Jesus' ministry. Paul is one of my favorite folks in the Bible, and Ephesians is the book Paul wrote while he was in prison. Probably one of my favorites as well, because the entire gospel of Ephesians speaks directly about Jesus Christ, grace, prayer, and church, all four of which we need desperately today in our lives. And it also speaks of light. And I'll come back to that in a second. This morning, however, our message comes from Luke, the friend and traveling partner of Paul. In Luke this morning, we read from one of my favorite passages and certainly one of my favorite stories in the Bible, the walk to Emmaus. In this passage, we see two disciples of Jesus discouraged, heartbroken, and searching for answers as they attempt to make sense of the events that they had just witnessed. We find them on the road to Emmaus, walking in faith, but yet not fully comprehending who Jesus was in their lives, and certainly how God intended on turning their pain and their sorrow and their uncertainty into a joyful situation. This, to me, sounds all too familiar in our lives this morning. You see, as Christians, we walk in faith every day, trying to seek the same answers as these men on the road to Emmaus. Much like these two men, we get so wrapped up in our conversations and we're so focused on what's going on in our day-to-day lives that we aren't listening or paying attention to our situation or even our surroundings. And more importantly, we aren't paying attention to the people in our lives, the blessings of our friends. In these moments, we forget who we are. We all have had conversations with friends where we would talk back and forth constantly in a manner of time. And by the end, we actually believe that we've solved all the world's problems, or at least three quarters of them. And quite frankly, we've done nothing but simply talk. Maybe you or I perhaps identify as these people. If not, we certainly know people from whom the saying holds true, as my grandfather would say, "Wow, can't get a word in edgewise with that one, can you?" Here's the plain truth. Sometimes we are talking so much that God can't even get a word in edgewise. And this, as Christians, is very dangerous for us. You see, Scripture declares that God enters our life like a gentle whisper. So what that means is there is a time for talking and then there is a time for listening. You know, we are also taught in Psalms, "Be still and know that I am God." This is what we see in the story on the road to Emmaus. We see two friends who were talking when they should have been truly listening. They were troubled, heartbroken, and lost. And what Scripture doesn't tell you is they were on their way home because their Savior had been killed. Granted, in this story, we are taught that Jesus' appearance was changed or altered by God. We also are reminded in Scripture, and we learn as we study in the Word, that even those closest to Jesus truly didn't know Him. And some that were the closest to Him struggled to believe the things that they were seeing and hearing. Something more was needed for sight, and that is my point today. Something more than sight is needed. In this story, we see Jesus coming to help them and lead them in their troubled lives, walking back home to Emmaus. Just like He does with us each and every day of our life, this story calls for us to experience the walk to Emmaus, not just hear it. We do not know these two men. Of course, Scripture identifies one of them. No matter who they are or who they were, we know their world was upside down and they really didn't know what the future would hold as they traveled back home. Just in a short span of time, they had been with Jesus and they had had a wonderful time according to Scripture, until Jesus was arrested, tried, sentenced, and then crucified. All at once, in one fell swoop, their hopes and their dreams vanished. In an instant, all was lost for these men. So what did they do? They didn't stay. They didn't try to work it out, as they had seen the Savior do many times. They turned their back for home. And they did especially do this after Peter and John had verified the tomb was in fact empty. To them, Jesus was truly gone. Traveling home, they were consumed and wrapped up in conversation where they were so focused on what they were going to say next or talk to one another about or say to the people at home when they arrived, they certainly weren't listening or paying attention to their surroundings. I can hear them now, actually. I don't know if this is what they said, but I can only imagine what they would say. "Did you see the tears in the eyes of the centurion whose servant Jesus healed while he was killed on the cross? Or perhaps they said, did you see the way Peter denied ever knowing Jesus? Can you believe that Judas guy? Maybe is what they talked about. Did you hear Jesus' last words as he hung on the cross before he took his last breath? All these things being bantered back and forth between two men as they walked home to Emmaus. Jesus, who had appeared as a stranger to them, he said something like this, "Hey fellas, what's happening? What are you guys talking about?" And amazed, they responded as Scripture declared, not knowing their own Savior in their own presence, consumed by their own lives and what they believed to be their own failure. Sounds all too familiar, doesn't it? In this story, God was at work. Jesus was right in front of these men and they didn't see him. Just like now, many times in our lives, Jesus is present with us in the most tumultuous times and we cannot even see him. Even as faithful as we are. There are times that God is at work in our lives and we can't even declare that we know it. Our eyes simply can't see because our spirit isn't in the right place and it lacks the trust needed as a follower of Jesus Christ. Scripture explains their hope was in the physical aspect of Jesus and not in the spirit aspect of Jesus. Thus, their hope was shattered. One of my favorite parts of this story is when they arrive home after walking with Jesus and still not recognizing him and knowing that it was truly Jesus. Jesus gets ready to continue on and they ask him to stay. Scripture declares that they urge him strongly to stay the night with them because it's almost evening and the day is now nearly over. So Jesus went to stay with them. He accepted their invitation. So here's what I want you to remember out of this particular part. All it takes is a simple request. It doesn't take much to get Jesus to stay in your life. Jesus will stay when he's invited. We also see in this story as they continue to visit over dinner and still absolutely clueless to whom was in their presence, the godly force that prevented them from seeing Christ on that 7-mile journey home is the same godly force that opened their eyes to who he really was when Jesus prayed over the bread and broke the bread. Jesus takes the bread, blesses it, and then breaks it. Once broken, these men's eyes were open. Their hope was immediately restored in the breaking of the bread. Scripture says they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. It was certainly dark by then at this juncture. And yet, with a 7-mile walk back, when daylight would be a better opportunity, they chose to walk in the dark. And thus, they started back to Jerusalem. In the same day after the bread was broken, hope was restored. Their lives changed forever in their faith of Christ Jesus. The men got back on the same road. And I want to call your attention to the road to Emmaus. It was the road of failure, loss, uncertainty, no tomorrow. That's the road the men walked from Jerusalem to Emmaus. The road that they had just traveled was in defeat, paved with shattered hopes. And yet, after the breaking of the bread, and recognizing their Savior, Jesus Christ, the road was now paved in possibility and renewed faith renewed in Christ, the men were different as they traveled the same road with a different destination now. The same road with a totally different conversation. The same road with different observations. And the same road with different and new realization. You see, the road of defeat they traveled to Emmaus became the road of hope they traveled back to Jerusalem. Why leave immediately? No way to physically light their way. Why leave then? Why not wait till tomorrow? Daylight brings a whole new perspective to our lives. It's quite simple. The bread was broken. And in the breaking of the bread, this brings immense hope. Hope now restored for them and also for the world. No choice but to go back. Their dreams realized Jesus Christ was alive and the message could not wait. Arriving in Jerusalem, they did. A 7-mile journey in pitch black darkness. As Ephesians declares, Jesus Christ is light. Scripture declares their safe arrival in Jerusalem in a 7-mile journey in pitch black darkness. Why? How did they get there? Because of their hope and the light that's been restored and the resurrection and the gifts before us this morning of Christ Jesus. You see, when they arrived in Jerusalem, they spoke with the 11 disciples and many others. They told everyone how Jesus had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Jesus restored their hope in the breaking of the bread. He restored a new life to them. Just as our hope is renewed every time we partake in the bread and the wine during communion. Friends, as we eat of this bounty, it's more than substance. It's spiritual. It's renewing. In the Presbyterian Book of Common Worship, it refers to the bread and the wine as gifts from Christ so that we can celebrate with great joy the redemption won for us through Jesus Christ. I'm not for sure if you can see it this morning, but I sure can. As my grandfather said, the hope that I speak of this morning is plain as the nose on your face. We celebrate it in the bounty before us. The hope of the broken body and the shed blood so that we have eternal life. I want to talk real quickly about the road. The road described in Scripture was traveled by two friends. No different than your road today in life. You travel this road not alone, but with loved ones, family, and friends. And in the midst of your travel, whichever way you go, you're accompanied by your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Always. What I call your attention to is don't be like the disciples and fail to see Him. You see, their road home and their load on their shoulders was immense. They were broken and shattered. Their hopes gone. Yet they were traveling with the very man who saved the world. And them too. Don't be blinded by your surroundings. Don't be blinded by your discussions and your happenings in your life that you think that they are so much more important than your spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ. For if you open your hearts to Christ Jesus, as you take of the Lord's Supper today, if you renew your faith in the body and the blood this morning, those burdens too shall disappear. Your road will not be to Emmaus. Your road home will be to Jerusalem in the Spirit of Christ Jesus. There are many roads that we travel. Some are treacherous. We struggle. We stumble. Never does Scripture declare that Christ is not present in your lives every step of the way. Take this story. Use this story in your life. And never, ever turn back. You see, you don't have to. Just like the men in the road to Emmaus, when the bread was broke, their hope was restored. And this morning, as we break bread together and consume the bounty and the table of Jesus Christ, our hope too is restored in the break. Amen.